Monday's Experts Racing's preview for the 19th of April 2025 for All Age Stakes Day there at Randwick and the last day of the Randwick Carnival. Now, I do apologise for not producing a podcast last week. Life got in the way with that one, and unfortunately, I could not fit the time in to record. So, hopefully this weekend we've got plenty of winners there for everyone, and that can make up for the missed podcast on Champions Day, or Championship Day too. All right, bit of a review of last weekend. Obviously, Machilate was very, very good there in that Provincial Championships final. Very, very tough win, and it was great to see Sarah Ryan land a big race like that. I think she's a very, very underrated trainer and has been really patient with this horse, and it's finally reaping its rewards for her, which is fantastic. He then had Tempted, who just showed that he was a class above and that probably should have arguably finished closer there in the slipper. I was keen on Sequester's chances there each way, and I don't think she disappointed anyone. She had to work there from the hard, from the wide draw early, and then she was obviously found wanting late. We've got to remember that was only her second start, so I think kind of draw. I'm intrigued to see where they take her next, but I'm pretty keen to be with her regardless of that. We then had Enrich get the absolute PR again. It was a very, very slowly run race, and they zipped home. I think the talking points were the race day scratching of Autumn Glow, obviously, and the money that was truckloaded for Big Swinger. So I thought Big Swinger was a great each-way play at around the 1x3, but then I think it was 30s when it opened, and then he got backed into about $3.90 favouritism or even shorter than that, which was just crazy. Obviously, it wasn't Craig's best ride, but I think the race shape was completely against the horse, so you could probably be very forgiving of it. We then have Treasure of the Moment, who had no right to win that Oaks. She actually clocked a faster final 200 meter split than Fangirl, who raced over the mile there in the Queen of the Turf. So she won that on class alone, and that was just simply amazing to watch. Personally, I think she's probably more a mile 2000 meter horse, but she's just a very, very good horse who is just a line chaser. Arafao obviously romped at home in the Sydney Cup. I had concerns with it running out a strong 2 miles, and it put that to bed very, very quickly. The pace of the race set by Alec Hance was simply ridiculous for a Sydney Cup, and you can see how Duke de Sessa, who's a very good horse on his day, and Alec Hance, who I guess is a stayer on the rise, both just imploded coming in to that final straight. I think the place getters were very, very good in that race as well, and I'm hoping one of them comes to Brisbane for the Brisbane Cup, because I think they'd be very, very good chances here. And then if you took the short odds about Via Sestina, you probably would have been a bit worried there at the top of the straight, but given the fact that he had the world's best jockey on in J-Mac, he kept his cool, he got her clear, and now she's the equal record holder for the most Group 1s in a calendar year with the great mare Winks. I think if you're looking at following a horse out of that race, obviously Tom Kitten was enormous again, as was Dubai Honor, but I think both of them are off to spells now. I think the horse that you can follow out of the race is Buckaroo. Now, remember, he was only second up. He jumped from 1,500 metres to 2,000 metres in that very, very good field. And I think he is really set for a big Brisbane campaign. I think they're looking to do pretty much what Faulkner Park did last year and do a Doomben Cup Q22. And I think he's likely going to face Faulkner Park again in that. So I think he's in for a really good prep. I loved his run, and I thought it was full of merit and something to say that he's come back just as well as what he went off last prep. Then got Fangirl, who, like Via, I think it was a bit hairy there for a bit, but Clash on through, and it was the ride that won by J-Mac. I think any more luck, and I think Steffi Magnetic would have been going with her to the line, and probably would have gone down in a photo finish. And then it was a bit of a bunch finishing behind, and obviously you can see that a Tissue and Amelia's Jewel have both been retired now as a result of that race. With Bendigo, obviously it was a day where there was probably no disadvantage to be up on speed and or just behind it, and that probably adds more merit to the win of Zelotti's, who I think is a stakes class mare. And then obviously Pivot City, which was my best for the weekend. Barrier obviously beat it. It got stuck on the rails and got clear air, probably a little bit too late, and absolutely rocketed through to the line. I made us for a bit of a lay there at Morphettville after the travel and the long layoff, and she was very, very good. Ended up backing Climbing Star each way, and I thought she was awesome in there. I think from what I'm reading, Asphora heads to the Sangster now against her own sex before heading over to Royal Ascot to defend her crown. So I think she's come back better. She's recovered from her trip, and I think bring on Royal Ascot. So summary, $100 strategy, return $95, which was good, with Matchalate getting up. And then obviously units out was 23.5 for a return of 19.23 units. So a slightly negative day, but it wasn't a day that really ate into the bank, which was good. So now we head to Randwick on Saturday for the final day of, the unofficial final day of the Autumn Carnival. The rails are out 6 metres from the 1,000 metres to the winning post, and then 5 metres for the remainder. There was some showers predicted for Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, but I think we've got really lovely weather on Good Friday and Easter Saturday, so I think we'll probably be dealing with a soft 5, good 4 on come race day. Now, track pattern, obviously, given that the rails have come out a little bit further, I don't see why any reason why it won't play perfectly, but I will be mindful that with the rail coming out that little bit further, the ideal position might be just a little bit more forward than it has been in the previous weeks. So you might want to be, off the speed just or midfield rather than be all the way out the back. But just in those earlier races, just keep an eye on for any patterns that you do see. So the first race I want to touch on is Group 3 Frank Packer Plate over the 2,000 metres. And this is a set weights race for the three-year-olds. And the horse that I'm not super keen on, but the horse that I think is a great winning chance is Firm Agreement. Now, I think with this race, you're either going to be with Swift Falcon and think he's the class horse who's coming out of the best races with the highest ratings. And you're going to look at this and go, this is the easiest race he's faced this prep. And therefore, probably should be winning. Or you're going to be like me and think this is a race as an afterthought after having two grand finals and a sort of grand final win the Carbine Club after missing the field in the Doncaster. Personally, I just think from barrier 7, he's going to do what he's done all prep. He's going to flop out the back and he's going to try and round the butt. And he's going to have to go. So he's gone from 1,600 to 2,000, back to 1,600 and then back up to 2,000 metres. And I just think he's going to have too much to do. I've actually got a good opinion of Firm Agreement as well. I love the booking of Nash for him, and I'm hoping from barrier 4, Nash can get him out of the barriers and sitting a bit more forward, particularly given that he's had that mile and a half run under his belt. So he might have the fitness edge there where he can just kind of, take a bit more of a position. I think Shangri-La Spring will lead this field. I think Tenbury Wells will follow him across and probably either sit outside him or just behind him. I think Perfect Justice from the inside barrier will kick up as well. And I'm hoping that with Firm Agreement, will be there with Sigiriya Rock with Plymouth just behind them. Pace looks very slow to me on this in this field. So I'm hoping that this Firm Agreement can build into the race and kind of get home there. And then I think Swift Falcon will be obviously fast finishing, probably the eye catcher again. But I just think Firm Agreement sets up better than him for this race. We then move on to race 6, the Group 3 JRA Plate over the 2,000 metres. Now the horse, this is probably not a bet per se for me, but the horse that I'm really keen to see what the market does is Klondike. Now it's a European import for O'Shea and Charlton, who's been quite competitive in winning some nice Group 3s over that 2,400, 2,500 metre range. Now, he comes into this race off two trials where J-Mac has ridden him in both of them. He's been gelded also. So if you see any sort of market support, I suggest having a bet here because he's around the $9, $10 mark. So you don't see J-Mac ride those kind of odds horses very often. And then outside of this race, I feel like it's really, really open. Obviously, we've got NCAP coming off that really, really good run there in the Doncaster. But this is the first time that he'll see 2,000 metres. You've got New Endeavour, who's a decent horse, but is 0-2 at Randwick, 0-2 at the distance, and has not won in Australia. You've got Flying Bandit, who has a good record, but is stepping up from a provincial BM78 to a Group 3. And the rest, honestly, I don't think they're much good. So I think you see any market support for Klondike, have a good bet. But if he drifts, then I'll be completely steering clear of this race. As honestly, it wouldn't surprise me to see many of the horses win this. So now we move on to the first of the Group 1s, the Group 1 Champagne Stakes. So this is the final of, I guess, the three-race series there for the two-year-olds. Now, this is over the mile, set weights race. Now, the two horses are the Hawks horses that I'm pretty keen to back in, Nepotism, and then probably a small bet there on Federalist. Now, really, really good race, I think. I think the one concern I have is how often this race becomes an afterthought for a lot of those horses that have then been in the slipper. They've had maybe two, three runs leading into that. They've then run in the size. So now some of them are having, I guess, their fifth, sixth, and seventh runs in their first preparation. So there is a bit of a concern there. Obviously, we've got Within the Law, who's now having his seventh run for the prep, loses Jason Collette and gets K-Mac, which I don't think is great. You've then got State Visit, who's probably been screaming out for this trip, but it was a bunch finish there in the size with 0.74 of a length separating first to fifth. And then, although the race rated well, I'm a bit weary because I think out of those horses that are coming out of the size, I think on any day, any of them could win this race. Now, if there was a horse that I wanted to back out of that size, I think it would be Federalist, who was having his second start. He copped a bump around the bend, but I really loved his final 200 meters, and I love that Nash sticks. So I think out of that race, I'm pretty keen to be with Federalist, and I know that the Hawks boys have a big opinion of this horse. And the other one that I'm really keen on is Nepotism. Now, I've been open in saying that I really like this horse, and I think had he made the slipper field, I think he would have given it a real shake. Last start in the Bayleu, he was really a weird drifter in the market, which surprised me. I think he was $2.50 out to about $6 on Betfair. So that was quite a scary drift. I did have something on, but it certainly wasn't the stake that I was planning on having on him. I'm hoping that that drift there was likely map and track conditions based, because I think I read or heard something with the Hawks boys. I don't think I think they were concerned with whether he'd handle the track conditions or that heavy eight that they're on the day of the Bayleu. Obviously, he's that win rated very well. I don't mind the wide draw for him, and I think he's a great price. I think he was $2.50 all in, and I think you can get about $4.50 about him now, which is fantastic. So for me, final race of the two-year-old series, I'm going to back both of the Hawks boys. I'll probably have a medium-sized bet on Nepotism with a small saver or maybe something to get a little bit of a profit with Federalist. But again, very open race, and if you are playing the quaddie, I would suggest putting Buffalo and State Visit in there. I think the rest can kind of do their thing. Now we head to race 8, the Group 1 All Age Stakes. This is a weight for 8 race over the 1400 metres. Now, I actually love this race, and I'm probably more excited about this race than I was the TJ, because there's so many angles you can take. You can see that we've got the 3-year-olds here, which is fantastic. You've then got a few up-and-coming sprinters, obviously, and then you've got a couple of old heads there as well, which is fantastic. So, I guess when you look at this race, the map and I guess the speed map here is very interesting, because Belclair looks to take complete control of this race from barrier 2, and I don't think they're going to go as fast as anyone anticipated, particularly not as fast as you would expect a TJ or a Galaxy or one of those kind of sprint trips. So I guess that's going to make it interesting for how the race is going to pan out and whether it's going to fall into the lap of Belclair and set up for, I guess, those horses that can sprint off a slow tempo. I think Jimmy Starr personally is going to want a faster pace, but again, he's a very, very good horse. He's overcome track pattern and track bias and all those sorts of things in the past. So he's certainly not one that I'm going to be putting a pen through. You then got Briasa, who obviously is the new kid on the block. The Hawks boys rate it. He's won a TJ now, and only his, I think, fifth or sixth career start. He's yet to go beyond 1,300 metres in his career, but I think he gives every indication that it should be fine. And I think from barrier 4, he can sit a lot closer in run, and hopefully we'll see him really rocket through the line. You've then got Jolie Star, who I think was given a bit of a stinker there by Lane, and I think he openly admitted that he got stuck on the rails and had to come up that inferior ground in the TJ. We've got to remember that she started 3:30 in that TJ. I think she was ended up being favourite. So her price here is certainly going to be anchored by that, and the market loves her. So she's another one that I wouldn't be putting a pen through. Get Zach Lloyd, who's a very, very good jockey as well. They got Broadsiding, who's dropping back from 2,000 metres, gets J-Mac. I do have a little concerns with him dropping back to the 1,400 metres. It had been a mile, I probably would have been a bit more confident. Like I said, Jimmy Starr has overcome track biases and all that before. I thought he was really good there in that William Reid behind Schwartz and Benedetta. And obviously we know Schwartz got that disgusting track bias and track pattern in his favour there in the William Reid. Gets to 1,400 metres, which I think he's asking for now. And he'll be obviously finishing strong. Magic Time, who I thought was very good there. Is a very good 1,400 metre horse and was only beaten 1.7 lengths there in the TJ. Like Jolie Star, she came up that inferior inside ground, and I guess the foundation for her coming into this is very similar to what happened last year where she ran in that TJ. I think she ran 6th or 7th, and then she's come into this and actually won this race, albeit it was on a heavy track, and she is one of the best wet trackers that is racing at the moment in Australia. We have Komochi and Sunshine in Paris, who had to take their medicine from the wide draws there in their TJ, and I love the way both of them hit the line. Then we have Antino, who, if he produces his two-rack run, he will absolutely brain this. But I think he's got Queensland on his radar, so let's just wait and see what comes of it. Benedetta, my girl, I think she's drawn perfectly in barrier 8 to sit just midfield. Gets Jamie Mellum, who's won a Group 1 on her there at Goodwood. She was enormous in that William Reid, like Jimmy Starr. She had to make that wide run very early there in the William Reid. And I think when you looked at her coming around that bend, she looked very strong. And I was pretty excited to see whether she could get over the top of Schwartz. But obviously with that rail bias, Schwartz was able to get away with it. She's yet to win over the 1,400 metres, which is a bit of a query for me, I guess. But her run in the Stradbroke was that of a tired horse. So I guess in that situation, you probably can be a bit forgiving there. She'll obviously be very strong in the finish, and I think she's going really, really well this prep. And like I touched on, Belle Claire is probably the other one that you can probably consider given the map, or the speed map at least. Obviously, Bjorn Baker is absolutely airborne and continuing to be. Rachel King, brilliant ride there on Arafaro of the weekend. Really good on leaders, so obviously, this is a step up in grade, but I think you've got to remember that she did beat Magic Time twice over this trip in the spring, both in the Invitation and the Hot Danish. So again, she's another one to consider. Really, really good race. No real confident betting angle, but I'll given the fact that I love Benedetta, I'll be having a small each way play on her. But if you ask for my tip in this race, I don't have one. It's just too difficult to distinguish. But I'd be going relatively wide in your quaddies here. But just watch the market, because that'll be a good indicator. Couple from around the grounds. Like, I'm not going to dig too deep into Mornington or Eagle Farm, just given the fact that I'm short on time this week. But the first horses, I've got Eagle Farm race 4, Lady Lucifer. I really, really like this horse. She is second emergency, so she may not make this field, but I think she's a good horse, and I think she's better than BM70 grade. She gets down on the 55 kilos, which is fantastic, and she's tactically versatile. So if we've got a soft deck there on Saturday, which I don't think we will, she'll handle it fine. Eagle Farm race 9, Give Me Space. Now, I love this horse. I don't think it's any secret about that. You'll obviously be holding your breath down the whole straight, but Luke Dempsey knows the horse well. I think he could be very, very good for Barry Lockwood. Love the way that he's won here at Eagle Farm. He's got a good record at this track. And hopefully there's no sort of bias there at Eagle Farm on Saturday. And here you're going to see the best of him, and with him flying home down the center. Now we head to Mornington. Now, Mornington race 3, Zweig, I think is how you pronounce it. Not a bet, kind of like Klondike really, but I'm really keen to see this horse go around. I think he's going to be better over further, but his record is absolutely outstanding. And I guess just like Klondike, just keep an eye on the market support. I think he's around the $12 mark at the moment. So if you see any sort of push for him late, I'd be having a little bit on. Mornington race 6, Vestas. Now, was surprisingly poor first up after some very, very nice jump outs. Gets Ben Mellum, who with Michael Deal probably be the premier jockeys there at Mornington on Saturday. I do have a lot of time for Rose DeVella, who's accepted in Pakenham Thursday night and one of the better bets on that card for me. So I think Vestas should be winning that race just on class alone, but I guess we'll have to wait to see on Saturday. Obviously, given that it is with the Clinton McDonald stable, look for late market support. And if the market does like it, then just simply get on. Mornington race 8, Berkshire Breeze, comes here off the best form lines. best last start rate. Excuse me. Gets Ben Mellon. I reckon the horse can sit outside just fine, and then I guess power to the line. I think Q Tempesta looks the only danger to me. And then Mornington Race 9, the best bet of the Mornington card in War Machine. I think the boy, one of my boys, I guess, returns under Glenn Thompson, who was previously co-trainer with Mike Moroney there for Ballydoyle. Obviously, the late Mike Moroney has passed away since, which is sad. I've loved the jump outs of this boy. Declan Bates on, Barrier 1, down in the minimum. I think he can sit very, very handy and run and be too good for them. Now, Friday tip. Now, again, both of these aren't necessarily tips, but I'm pretty keen to see how they go. We've got Cranbourne Race 7, Carini. Now, Carini has changed stables there. I think the horse was with Danny O'Brien, has now since moved to Gavin Bedgood. Now, we do know with Gavin Bedgood, he can do something with these, I guess, tried horses. So just keep an eye on that. It also is dual nom for another race over the weekend. So just see where the horse pops up. And then we've got Echuca Race 7. Now, this is not a tip, but a fantastic feel for this discovery there for the Good Friday meeting. Obviously, you've got Ray Magnieri, who's a great handicap sprinter, and just below those top liners, Midwest, who's been very competitive and was only 1.1 lengths off Joyful Fortune there in the Bobby Hoisted. Obviously, Joyful got the chocolates for us at big odds last start, but the concern for him is he's 0 from 5 second up. The ground's going to be quite firm with a hot day predicted on Good Friday, and we know that he does have his issues. I think he's a better fresh horse than and having his run space, which he doesn't have here. Johnny Rocker, who was that boom horse after running just behind Imperatrice. He's had a nice jump out there at Caulfield over the Heath track. Oak Hill, again, who wasn't far behind Joyful in that Bobby Hoist. And then you got Big Me, who's coming off two big wins. Personally, really, really good watching race. I think if Joyful isn't flat second up and he takes benefit from that run, I think he should be too good for them. But those second stats are just grey me up so, so, so much. But great little race for us on the public holiday. Now, if I do get this out in time, I've got two tips for Thursday. First one is Pakenham Race 2 in Warrior Within. Now, I'm going to be completely forgiving of this horse after his debut. Now, he was started quite short in the market off some really, really nice jump outs there at Sale. Now, that was a deteriorating track, and it was one that it was certainly favorably up on pace. The market really liked Aha Aha in that race, and obviously Warrior Within. Aha Aha lost by 3 lengths there and didn't make up much ground, but came out at his next start and won by about four lengths. So I'm going to be forgiving of that. We're going to be on a good track on Thursday night, and Jamie Mott rides very well for Julius Sandu. The danger for me was Imachia, who was one that I loved the jump outs of, but obviously that's been scratched, so that's fantastic. So I think you can get around the $10 mark. So just something small on it. And then Rose DeVella, who I touched on there in the Mornington card, is dual accepted for Mornington Race 6 and tonight there. I think Rose DeVella is going to be too good for them on Thursday night if the horse is there. Now we go to the $100 strategy. We're going to have $12.50 on Lady Lucifer at Eagle Farm Race 4 at $9. We're going to have $20 on War Machine, Mornington Race 9 at $3.90. $15 on Nepotism, Randwick Race 7 at $4.20. $5 on Federalist, Randwick Race 7 at $21. $20 on Give Me Space, Eagle Farm Race 9 at $4. And then we're going to have $27.50 on Berkshire Breeze, Mornington Race 8 at $2.80. Now, if you have a problem with gambling, please visit gamblinghelponline.org.au or call 1-800-858-858 for free and confidential support. Good luck on the weekend, everybody, and I'll be back next week to preview, I think, Quokka Meet. Anyway, talk soon.